Hello, and welcome to another message brought to you by Christian Fellowship Assembly, located in Allendale, Michigan at 9930 64th Avenue. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 27, Allendale, Michigan 49401, and our internet address is www.cfachurch.org. Now, here's your speaker, Dr. Ronald C. Hurtis.
God will take care of us. He promised He would. He is our provision. And if we call unto Him and use His wisdom and His guidance and His provision, God will see us through. Even in the midst of an economic downturn, as they say, I'm just amazed at how we in our country want to get us out of this economic slump, and I'm not going to talk political much, but how we want to get us out of the economic slump by using our own money to try to stimulate us back into business. It's quite an amazing thing. It'd be like me going to my children and just saying, put more in the coffers so mom and dad can spend more so you will have less. Oh boy, help us, Lord. I say help us, Lord. And then all the endowments, by the way, then we have to spend our money on crazy things. Oh, well. Hallelujah. Don't you know we live in the kingdom of God that's greater than that? Amen. I'm so thankful to God that He has given us the wisdom and the understanding to draw from another well. Yes. You remember the story? Remember the story in John? When there was, the story goes on, the disciples went into town, and Jesus was sitting by this well called Jacob's Well. And Jacob had two names. His name later became Israel, as you remember. He wrestled with God, and his name was Israel. So he actually had two names. He had the name Jacob, and he had the name Israel. Well, he was at Jacob's Well, and at that well, the disciples went into town to get some victuals, and he's sitting there, and this woman came down, and he has conversation with her, and good morning. Yeah, them things will follow you wherever you go. I hope they don't make it to heaven. Oh, Jesus, they are in heaven already. You know, anyway, on with the story. So Jesus talks about her religious thing. Well, Lord, you know, we go into the mountains and we worship Abraham. Well, actually, the story ends up this way. Jesus sat on Jacob's well. The Bible said He sat on the well, meaning that He was about to shut that system down. And then He said, there's another well, and it's within you. And it's the well of living waters that will never run dry. And He said, if you're ever thirsty and want to drink of the well, that well is within you. And Jacob's well is to shut down, and we're to draw of that greater order, that higher order, which is in God. So despair not, church. Don't let this stuff get you down. It may have an effect upon you, but don't let it control you. That's the difference. It may affect you. See, it's not what you eat, it's what eats you. So we have to be steadfast and faithful in God. He is our life. He's our strength. He's our provision. He's everything that we need. This morning, I want to share a thought with you about the tree of life. And I want you to go with me in your thought process. We're not going to read all the stories because it's a long ordeal. But remember in the Garden of Eden, when God planted the trees, there were two fundamental trees that He planted. One was called the tree of life. The other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It didn't say it was good and evil. It said it was the knowledge of good and evil. So there was the tree of life. And God forbid Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But He did allow them to have access to the tree of life. And then we go on with the story, and we find out that God later on exiled them from that garden estate. But I want you to think about something this morning. I want you to think that I like to take things in different realms, meaning I like to think, I don't know how you picture the garden. You may picture the garden as a piece of real estate that was a real nice place. It was in fact, it reminds us of a park, and in that park were all of the animals who didn't eat each other. They coexisted together. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no disorder. Everything was absolutely in harmony in that garden. And then there was first appeared one person, and then God brought that person and created two out of the one. So here's these two people in this garden. And then he talks about how that Adam walked with God in that garden in the cool of the evening. He walked and talked with God. But I want us to think this morning I want you to take it to a different realm. If you think it's a geographical place, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Because it's all pictorial. Remember, the scriptures are pictorial. They tell us about something. God has a message in it. So if you want to think of it as a physical place over in Iran or Iraq and that area, that's perfectly fine. But I want us to take us to a different thought. And I want us to think about our mind as a garden. I want you to think about your mind as the Garden of Eden. And I want you to see your mind as two persons in that garden, one being masculine and one being feminine. I want you to see in that garden all the characters and the creatures in the garden. I want you to see your mind pictorial as having all the beauty of the flowers and the trees and the bushes and the streams and everything that the beauty had to declare as it was in your mind. Because you see, in the transgression, it came first through a mind process to exile them from the garden. You understand that, don't you? It wasn't just a physical thing, it's the way they thought, because the Bible indicates that Eve responded to a sound or a voice, and she was in her thought process that she heard something that she went, and then she did the action after thinking or responding in her thought process. Then she responded physically, as it were. Everybody say as it were. But see, I want you to get it as it were. Because the Bible said this, as a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. So if you think of yourself as something, that's exactly how you respond to your thinking process. If you think that you're worthless, you will respond into that nature of worthlessness. But if you think of yourself as someone who's good and important and has reasonable concepts and has value to life, that's how you respond to it. In fact, as I can tell you, that if you think of yourself as poor, you respond to your poorness. But if you see yourself as rich and wealthy, you respond to yourself as rich and wealthy. Now you can say, that's stupid talk, because if I'm poor, I can't think of myself being rich and be rich. Oh yes, you can. See, your richness and your wealth is not found in how many dollars you have. Your richness and your worth is found in the concepts of your value, how you value yourself. So I want us to get into a mindset of how we think. Let me read a few scriptures to you, and then we'll go from there. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible said, the thief cometh not, but to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life. This is God speaking to us. Now listen carefully. God's telling you something this morning that's very vital and important in your life. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. What does that mean? That means simply that there is a bar or a standard to living. We live by a standard in this country. A lot of us used to get raises based upon the standard of the country. If there was the cost of living went up, we would say, well, the cost of living, so we'd get an increase in our pay. So there's a standard in life. But God turns around and he tells you, I want you to live above the standard. Are you willing to do that? Yes. You all want to live above the standard? Yes. You want to live above, now I'm talking about your means, I'm talking about the standard. Because your means is based upon God. Yes. Not upon what you think your worth is, it's what God says you're worth. Yes. Okay, so he said, I want you to have life more abundantly. There are fundamental ways in which we can live. People can live without a a brain that works, and they're still alive. We call them in a comatose state or in a vegetation state or vegetable state. They don't have a responsive in their body. They don't respond. They're just like a vegetable. That's one way to live, but they're still alive, aren't they? Now, you can also live out of the realm of your soul or the standard living of this life. You can live in the temporal realm of this world and everything goes on and you're subject to all of the sicknesses, diseases, and poverties and richness and happiness and sadness of all that life has to offer. There's another realm that you can live in, the third realm, which is the realm of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a realm that has absolutely no limits to it. It's not limited by time, it's not limited by space, and it's not limited by resources. It has absolute limitless resources in God. That is the order of Melchizedek. There were all sorts of orders in the scriptures, but the highest order to which Jesus followed after was called the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the prince or the king of Salem, which is the Prince of Peace. Jesus had a relationship with him, or we find Abraham had a relationship with him way back in the scriptures, and he was blessed. Melchizedek blessed him. I want us to have the blessing of Melchizedek. Yes. 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 Amen. You want to be blessed by Melchizedek? Yes. Now, I'm not standing in front of you to tell you I'm Melchizedek. I'm telling you, I ask you if you want to be blessed by Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no limits in time nor space or resources. He was absolutely limitless. And that's why Jesus had limitless power and authority. There was nothing that could withstand him, even the greatest force in the world called death. Death could not hold him. He overcame death, as Dick spoke this morning, by his own volition of spiritual authority power that was within him. It didn't come from any place else. We can say, well, Father gave it to him. It was in him. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Present tense. I am the resurrection and life. And he followed after the absolute Melchizedek order of resurrected life that the grave could not hold him. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. Whatever grave you're in, death and the grave cannot hold you. If you have that resurrected power of Christ Jesus within you, which you do have, and I want to tell you something this morning, that it's the word is nigh unto your lips, but you will not speak out of your lips until the heart responds, because the Bible said, out of the heart the lips speak. In other words, so you have to have a heart belief, a heart concept, a heart confirmation to believe that when you speak out of your lips, you're not just saying vain words, but you're speaking words called life. The life of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus, which has delivered me from the law of sin and death. There's a life in the Spirit of God to which we must ascribe to. And that is the kingdom of God after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. He wants you to have life more abundantly. Yeah. Read a couple more scriptures. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, you're looking for sources outside of you. I'll just make it very clear to you this morning. If you're looking for a God out in a heaven someplace to do something great and mighty for you, that's a good thought. But the reality is, the power of God lives in you. Let's say it again. The power and authority of God lives in you. You are the temple, the dwelling place, the residence. Paul used it as an analogy of a tent. God lives in you. You are the living epistle, tent, dwelling place of Almighty God. God lives in you. Wherever you go, you take God with you. The power, the authority, the essence, the presence of Almighty God dwells in your what's called a mortal body. And it's changing you. Hallelujah. It's all about change. Now, the Bible said that this power that's in you is exceedingly above anything that you think or ask. Now, isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, think about it. This life essence of God that's in you is greater than anything that you think about. How big can you think? How big can you think? That exceeding power that's in you is greater than anything that you think. And it's far above anything that we ask. That's the power of life from God that's in you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if we can grasp that, then we are going to begin, if we can think about that, if we can let that be in our heart's truth concepts, we are going to do greatness in God. Now, I'm not talking about you trying to be something. I'm talking about God working through you, just like he worked through Jesus and did great and mighty things. I'm preparing you because you must prepare yourself for great and mighty things. Jesus said this about his great and mighty things. He told you, greater things than what I do, you shall do. Well, come on, church. He said, greater things than these shall you do. In other words, the greatness of his power is in you. And it's waiting, listen carefully, the greatness and the power of life is waiting to be demonstrated by you.
Yes, amen.
It's waiting for you to release the power of God out of you. And the only way that it can come is two realms, in the way that you think and the way that you respond. You can think a lot, but if you don't respond to your thinking, that's all it is thinking. And you can respond to something that has no divine thought process and it produces no life. We have to have the witness of the way that you think and the way that you respond. Aren't you happy for Jesus? Amen. All right, church. Come on, we're on to something. Come on, we're on to something because, see, God, if you're waiting for God, you're going to wait a long time. Doesn't mean God's not working. I'm just simply saying, if you're waiting for God to do something for you, you might wait a long time. But when you will release that power of God that's within you, that's when you see the demonstration of the authority, the power, the manifestation of Almighty God. For an example, let's use an illustration. Last week I sat right over here and people came by and prayed for me. What it was, when we pray for people for sickness, it's if you think that you have divine healing in you, I say, thank you, Lord. But if I have divine healing in me, I say, thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, when we see the manifestation of divine healing, when we see the number of witness, which is the number of two. If any two or three shall agree on anything. Well, come on now. Is anybody alive here? If any two or three agree upon anything, it shall be done. So I told you last week, when you pray, I'm depending on you for the dependence upon me, which makes the two, and God shows up, and we got three. That's why I confess to my healing. I have to. If any two or three agree on any such thing, it shall be done. But if you disagree and you say, well, we agree that God's going to make us rich, that's foolishness. You respond to your agreement. In other words, if you just use vain words in the air, you're not going to see anything happen. But when you respond and affirm to what you said, and you begin to respond to it, that's when you see the manifestation of it. That's why the Bible said in Romans 8, all creation, the whole world, even the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, is waiting for the manifestation, the reality of the presence of the activity of Almighty God through a humanity called people. It's waiting for us. Well, hallelujah. Somebody ought to be walking on the pews. The power of God. I come to give you life, and life more abundantly, more than the standard of what the world has to offer. Because we draw from the realm of the kingdom of heaven called the kingdom of God. We draw from that source, and that's where we live. You have to learn that you live within him. It's in him I live. It's in him I live. It's in him I live and move and have my being. It's in him because he's in me. Hallelujah. Y'all happy for Jesus? All right. Okay. Remember, talk about the trees. Want you to think. Do you remember the time when Jesus prayed for some man who was blind, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. I see men that look just like trees. Well, if he was blind, how did he know what a tree looked like? He went like this. He felt the tree. He felt the branches. Maybe felt some fruit. What do you see? In his impression of his mind, he knew what he thought a tree looked like. And then he saw a man with his limbs hanging out. And he said, I see men looking like trees. It's an amazing. Now, you think that these words are just silly little words in the Bible? No, sirree. God put them there for a reason and a thought. I want you to know something. That in your garden, in your mind, there are trees. Anybody here?
Yes.
Now, do you remember when we did the thing a while back, who stole my mind or my brain? Do you remember the teacher said that when thoughts come into your brain, there are just like trees in there. And when these thoughts come, negative thoughts, they attach themselves to your branches. And then they become toxic thoughts. So you see, you have trees in there. You have good ones. And then you have this other tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they... Have you ever heard something that you thought was evil and it turned out to be good?
Yeah.
I have, many a time. I responded in my thinking. That's got to be a negative thing, and it turned out to be a positive thing. And then I thought there were things that were positive, it turned out to be negative. Y'all understand that stuff. We just don't do that anymore. We used to try these schemes, you know, like... Well, we sold telephone cards for a while, and we just tried a whole bunch of stuff to make money. Oh, it was all good. It looked so good, and it sounded so good. Well, we thought it was good till, and we lost money, and then we got into a Ponzi scheme. We thought we were going to always just sit on Sundays and say, let's see, my $500 should be worth about $350,000 now. And a short time later, well, it's worth $500,000 now. Well, we thought it was good, but it turned out to be bad. See, it's all in the way that you think. So you got to know that we have a mind that has the ability to think of both good and evil. That's because we have so well learned to eat from that tree. But there's another tree. There was another tree in the garden. And that's the tree we have to learn to eat from. We have to be trained how to eat from the tree of life. All through our life, we're making choices. What are we going to do? How are we going to do? Where are we going to do? When are we going to do? It's always a decision. We're constantly making decisions. Even when we drive a car, we're making decisions, which is an okay thing to do. Except if we do it on the basis of good and evil. The Bible said in the Old Testament, they call evil things good, and they call good things evil. That's how confused we can get, see? But then that's because we eat of that tree. But there's another tree in the garden. All right, listen to this. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground, God made out of the ground. Listen carefully. Out of the ground. Where did man come from? He was a ground creature, see, out of the dust of the earth. Out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that was pleasant in the sight and good for food. There was the tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life means that it was alive. It was like the Hebrew word means it was like raw flesh. The tree of life was like it was raw flesh. In other words, can I but say it was like with contained within a human body? All right. And it was strong and so forth. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. In the garden, I want to ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Thank you so much. The question is this. If perfection was in the garden, why should he have to dress it and keep it? See, when I go to funeral services, and I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I'm just saying, you go to funeral services, and Uncle John died, and he loved to play golf, so they use, now John, Uncle John is up there with his brother Peter, and they're playing a round of golf. How many times you ever heard that? Do we have winners and losers? If heaven is perfection, we can't have any losers. What's the point in playing? No competition. I'm just asking some questions. Because, see, I think about these things. I don't know why I do, but I do. If I go, and I like to hunt and fish, which I do like to do, and if I go to heaven, I can't hunt because I can't kill anything. I could play an arcade game. I can't fish and catch anything because I can't fry it anyway. Because I can't take its life. So it's a catch and release. I'm just asking these questions. But in your mind, see, we have these gymnastics in our mind going on. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if we eat of the tree of life, we're going to get there in a few minutes. Just listen to this. And the Lord God commanded, verse 16, that the man of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. So another question comes in my mind. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree, did they die that day?
No.
The answer is no. They didn't die. So you're going to have to interpret the scriptures. They began dying. They began the process of dying. And ever since then, because they ate of that tree, they continue to die. You know why we continue to die? Because we eat of that tree. Do you think it was ever meant by God to create something so blissful as the earth and creatures and all such things, animals and people, that he should say, well, you know, let them people only live 120 years or 1,000 years, and pooey, let them die. No, because God is life. So I'm persuaded, within my concepts of my spiritual being, that God meant for us to live and not die. I'm convinced that God created the heavens and the earth and all that it contained for it to live and not die. I don't believe it was ever meant to die. Now, I know the scripture said, And it was appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I know all that stuff, but that was after the fall. But prior to the transgression and the fall, I'm not convinced that man, that God ever meant for man to die. I think man was to live. Okay, because in him was the breath of life. So if it's either alive or it's dead. God never breathed in the second time and says, here's a little shot of death. That comes after your life. Death wasn't even a part of it. All it was life. The spirit of life. He breathed into our nostrils and we became a living soul. The breath of life. It's called the breath of life that God breathed into us. I don't believe we were ever appointed to die. Okay. All right. Just so we get that. All right. Now, I'm going to go through the scriptures briefly. 10 times I want to show you something about the tree of life. So I want us to begin to learn the process of eating from the tree of life. Because the tree of life has fruit. We don't eat the tree. We eat the fruit of the tree. All right. Listen carefully. Genesis 2:9, which we already read, there's found in the garden the tree of life. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and then what? Come on, church. Okay, here's, I want you to respond to this. Listen carefully. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us. Well, that's a bold statement in itself. To know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of the life and eat of it, he's going to live forever.
Yes.
So you want to eat of the tree of life?
Yes.
What are you expecting?
Live forever.
You're going to live forever. All right, okay. I'm into this. All right, number 3. Genesis 3:24, so he drove man out of the garden and placed him at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. God is protecting the tree of life. He's going to protect it now. He drove you out of the garden. In other words, he drove you out of your mind. Did you know, I believe it's in Colossians, that the Bible said that man has alienated God from his mind. In other words, our God thinking, our God consciousness, our God awareness, we've alienated it from our minds. So remember, as a man thinketh, it's all about the way that you think. I'm going to ask you a question. How big is God? He's as big as you think. If you believe that God is a healer, you're thinking maybe a little bigger than most of Christianity. If you think that God can save everybody in the world, you're really thinking big. If you think that God is the reconciler of all things, you're stretching yourself into thinking big. If you think God is the reconciler of all things and restitution, reconciliation of all things, you're stretching yourself to think really big in God. That's how big God is. So you got to think big in God. Can't think little. Got to think big on God. Because God is the giver of our life. He's the breath of life. All right. So he sits in at the garden and he does this. If you want to picture the garden, let's do a 40-acre garden. And God takes these people and he drives them out for whatever source. And he gets them outside of the garden. And he's got these cherubims with a flaming sword. He said, you're not getting back in here. Got it? Adam? You ain't getting back in here. You stay out there now. I'm not content staying out there. Because there's a way to get back in. And we're going to show you. I'm going to show you how to get back in the purifying and the cleansing, the beauty of your garden before 12 o'clock. Is that okay? Y'all want to get back into your garden? You want to get into your sound mind? You want to get into eat of the tree of life and the fruit thereof? Oh, so do I. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. So number 4, Proverbs 3:13 says, now this is the tree. Now remember, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. So the tree of life now no longer becomes like a tree. It actually becomes two words, wisdom and understanding. So wisdom resides where in your physical body? In your mind. Where does understanding reside in your body? In your mind. So it's the way that you think, and your wisdom and your understanding. Okay, now Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now here's the tree of life again. And what is? How does he describe the tree of life? He said it's the fruit of the righteous. That's a tree of life. So you can take fruit from your tree and you can feed from the tree of life. So you see, it's not just like a tree. Now it becomes activity out of a people. The fruit of your tree. All right. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. Everything, you see, the beauty of God is he takes the tree of life and he doesn't make just a tree sitting in a garden somewhere out in the Middle East. He finds out that the tree of life is a substance of who and what you really are. All right. And in different manifestations. All right. Number 7, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That's very good. Let's see. Number 8, the Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So how do you get to the tree of life? How do you get there? Oh, you got to overcome. Or come over. Now remember, here's the garden, 40-acre garden, and here's the flaming sword and the cherubs. Don't come in now. Going to keep you out. You want to get in, don't you? We want to go back into God, where we came from. All right. Now we're going to go to number 9, Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Verse 2, in the midst of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. He's going to show you something now, a river flowing of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, on the other side of the river, is a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's the tree of life again, Pierce. Shows up in the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's you know what that just fundamentally tells me? See, a lot of people are looking at the book of Revelation and are saying, oh, it's the apocalypse, it's the end of time, it's all the terrible things that are coming, all them horsemen and all them dragons and demons and all that stuff and the devil and all that kind of stuff. You know what the book of Revelation is? It tells you right in the beginning. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Tells you exactly what it is. All right, number 10. Revelation 22:1. Oh, I did that one. All right, I'll do a couple more. Not in Revelation. I want to tell you something. The garden, fundamentally, now I want you to picture the garden. It's feminine. It has a feminine nature, gender. The garden of God is like the soul. It's female. Your soul is female. Your spirit is masculine. Oh, gosh, this stuff. I love it. I love this stuff because, see, it brings me so into my identity. Asking questions like, who am I? What am I? Why do I think like I do? How did I get here? Where am I at? Where am I going? A whole bunch of questions that arise in our lifetime. And then God begins to break it down and show us that fundamentally we're both male and female, even though we carry the primary gender. Every man has an essence of female in him. Every female has an essence of masculine in them. And so our identity is found in him. And it goes on. I want to read a couple verses out of the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon is a relationship. Everybody say relationship. It's a relationship. Song of Solomon 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Feminine. Song of Solomon 5, 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh and my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I will draw my mind my wine and my milk. Eat our friends. Drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. All right, now we're going to go back. How do you get back into the garden? The garden, I'm going to give you two concepts again, just a reminder. The garden can be a physical, relative, geographical place. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying it can be. I want to show a counterpart. I want to show you what's called a metaphysical. It takes the physical and brings it into another realm. You ever heard of metaphysical?
Yeah.
Or metaphysical means that you take what's physical and you bring it into another concept, another identity. All right, so the metaphysical is this. So he drove man out of the garden. So the garden is either two things. It's either geographical, physical, and or it can be like your mind, feminine. Where the garden is, and in your garden are two trees. And it's relative because we just recently saw the videos about our mind, our brain, how it works, and that there's branches in there like in a tree. And when thoughts come, they collect to the branches of the tree, and that's called memory. And in our memory, we have good thoughts, which are healthy, and then we have bad thoughts, which are toxic, which cause us to do negative things. Got it? So it's like trees in our garden, in our mind. All right. So here's the tree. It's still in the midst of the garden. The cherubs are there, and they're like this with a flaming sword. And I'll read Revelation 3:24 again. And so God drove out the man, and he placed at the east. And east always refers to, I want you to get this thought, east refers to the beginning. Always the beginning. It's where the sun rises from the east, goes to the west. It's always a biblical concept. East is the beginning. So he places at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, a cherubim, what is it? I'll read it to you. It's the word in the Hebrew called baruch. It's of uncertain derivation. It means a cherub or imaginary figure. It's not substance. It's not some kind of a brass or gold or wooden figure. It's an imaginary thought. It's an image. An image actually comes from imagination. If we're going to make an image, it comes first through imagination. I'll show you in the scriptures, the Old Testament, they had many gods. Many of their gods were based upon how they thought about things, even figuratively. So it comes from the thinking to developing something. It's like someone doing sculpture. It first is in their mind, and then they form it into a sculpture and process it as they go along. How they can imagine it in their mind, it becomes a substance of how they formed it. Same thing happened with God when he made you in his image. There was an image that God had in his mind about you. And then he took out of the imagination of his mind and created you in his image. So that you are the image of the imagination of God. It started with an imagination, came into an image. That's why we are made in the image and the likeness of God. The image and the likeness of God is not your physical flesh. It's not your body. It's your spirit. It's in the image of God. But you can't see a spirit. In and of itself, spirits cannot be seen. They can create a manifestation, but that's not the spirit. It's the imagination or image of the spirit. Spirit has no image in the sense of tangible things. But we are made in the image of God. So we are in his likeness and from his imagination into his image. So God turns around into the mind of man. And he puts this image or imagination in front of a garden of your mind. And he tells you, you can't get in there because this is in your way. And at first was a thought of impossibility. So you think you can't get back to God. But God turns around and he tells you, first, there's the imagination, and the second is the flaming fire. Well, let's look at that flaming fire. Listen carefully to these words. Listen to the New Testament. God speaking to us. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be tried even as or made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. You are being tried by a fire. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. Fire is that image to which we have to pass through the fires to get to our destiny. Fire is the thing that most people are totally afraid of. We avoid fires because we know how destructive it is. But I want to tell you something. If you're right with God, nothing's going to burn.
That's right.
Listen to what he said. I'll read the whole thing again. 1 Corinthians 3:13, and then I'll read 15. Every man's work, every one of us are going to be tried, or there's going to be a manifestation, for the day shall receive it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You're going to find out in your garden what the heck is going on about you, because the fire is going to try you, and it will prove you. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All right. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as by fire. In other words, in our mind, where does God exist? Have you seen him? You know how you found out about God? Somebody told you. Somebody told you about God. And then in your mind, you're going, oh, God. Yeah, there's a God. Right. There's a power. There's an essence. There's an authority. There's a divinity. That's called God. Yeah, I believe that. Otherwise, where'd everything come from? So I believe in God. So we began to the process of our thinking about God. And then we find out God is invisible. How can I believe in something invisible? There's only one way. I believe it in my heart, in my spirit. Something in me tells me what they said about God has got to be true, because something in me goes, yes, yeah, that's right. And the Bible uses this terminology. My spirit bears witness with his spirit that I'm from him. That's how I know God exists. There's no other way to know. It's called experience. You can't know God intellectually. There's no such thing. You can't know God historically except to read words. But you can find God experientially, because he bears witness with your spirit. Because it's the same spirit, and out of your spirit you go, Abba, Father, yes.
Yes.
That's how you know. There's no other way to know. So in your mind, you hear it through the doorway of your ears, your natural physical ears, but it enters through a due process down even into your spiritual man who has ears. And he hears something through the natural ear to the spiritual ear, and he's going, yes, to God. And then he turns around and he finds out that not only does God love you, but he proves that he loves you, for God so loved the world. And he goes and shows us Jesus, and he shows us the miracles, and he shows us the power. He shows us the manifestation. He shows the reality of God. And then all of a sudden we're going, greater. Yes, 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 yes. In my spirit, I'm constantly reaffirming to this thing called God. Yes, I believe it. And then I bring it to another level. I not only believe it and I experience it, but I begin to manifest it out of me, not just in me, not just believing and hearing words, but I began to see God working out of my being. My God Almighty, He begins to reveal Himself out of me. Through words and through touching and through all kinds of things, God begins to do something out of our physical body. And we go, how can we deny God? Because we can't. That's the reality of our experience in God. Because we're eating from the tree of life. We've passed through the fires. We've passed through the flood. I'm not suggesting there aren't any more fires. I'm just simply saying, praise God, the fires we passed through have brought us into this place called the garden. And we began to eat from the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And out of that, we eat from that tree. There's fruit. There's fruit. There's the fruit of God that gives us the authority and the measure of manifestation and reality that we can begin to speak of the things that are not as though they are and begin to speak declarations and begin to see God move in a great and a mighty way. Not only in our lives, but in our families, in our homes, in our community, in our friends, wherever we go. God reveals Himself out of us because it's so the power and manifestation of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder. No wonder we can say yes to the Lord. We can say, yes, Lord, I'll pass through the fires because I know that there's more fruit to be eaten from the tree, that I become the substance of what I eat. It's not what eats you, it's what you eat. You want to eat life? Go to the tree of life. You want to see the power of God in your life? Begin to eat that fruit. You want to see, you want to hear God? Begin to listen. Go close to that tree and begin to listen. God will speak to you. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, hallelujah. That's the God. That's the God we serve. That's the God. That's the God who not only is about us, but He actually lives in us. He lives very right within your physical body. That power, that presence, that authority of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. Father. Father. But if there's one in this place that needs a touch, that needs a manifestation, that needs a reality, if you want a touch from God this morning, I want you to come forward. There's a great anointing of God here today. And I don't want to stand alone. I want those that have faith to stand with me. And you don't have to do anything. Just touch Him and say, Jesus, I'm believing God for power. I'm believing God for reality, manifestation, a newness of life, getting beyond the temporal things of this world, our sicknesses and our diseases and our cares and our failures and our faults and our shames and our guilt. And we get a people that'll stand up beyond greater than what we are and watch the power of Almighty God come through us. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, as I touch Him this morning, let the power and the presence of Your Spirit touch Him, Jesus. Touch Him, Jesus. Lord God, touch Him, Jesus. The power of God. Touch Him, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, manifest and reveal Yourself. Touch Him, Jesus. Touch her, Lord. Oh, restore her, Lord God. Restore her to her youth. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, touch Him, Lord. The reality of the greatness and the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, touch her, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Touch her, Lord. Touch Him, Lord. The power and the reality of your experience of God is your substance. It's your reality. I prophesy to you today, God and His greatness and His power shall rise within you beyond your expectations. You shall see and feel and hear a sound and feel the presence of Almighty God in a new and a living way. Will go beyond anything you thought, dreamed, or spoken in your life. and ye will see and hear and participate in that which God is doing in the earth today. Oh, hallelujah. Father, release her. Die, say release, 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 release. Oh, hallelujah. Release it. Yes, just let it go. You've got to let it go. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Touch her, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on, Christy, lift up your hands. Let the power of God so be so real to you, Christy, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Anybody else this morning? Come on. Just step right out. Come on, Alberto. Let God just reveal himself and your power and your presence. Lift up your hands to heaven. Jesus, touch my friend in Jesus' name. The power of God be upon him, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Come on, somebody shout to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Anyone else this morning? All right, all right. I want you to take a bold step this week. I want you to be so in charged with God that you release your spirit, eat from that tree. Mm-hmm. Not only eat from the fruit of the tree, I want you to share your fruit. Yes. Take that substance that's within you and begin to distribute it to all those around you in Jesus' name. Dick, you want to do a little music before we go?